Lisa Gardner joins us by phone tonight to talk about her latest novel. She's the New York Times bestselling author of 14 novels, one of which, The Neighbors, was awarded the International Thriller of the Year Award. Her current novel is titled Touch and Go. Lisa, so glad you could join us.
Oh, thank you so much, Barbara.
We experience this harrowing tale through the voice of three narrators. So let's start with the first one we meet. Her name is Libby. Can you tell us a little bit about her childhood and where she is in her life now?
Touch and Go features the Denby family, headed by Libby Denby, the mom. And from an outside perspective, they are the family that has it all. Libby's husband has this $100 million mega construction firm. She herself grew up in the projects, kind of hard knocks life. Justin arrived. It was Prince Charming sweeping her away. They built this impeccable, luxurious townhouse together. They have this 15-year-old daughter they dote upon. And yet, from the opening of the novel, when we meet Libby Denby, we can tell this is her happily ever after, and she is about to have a serious mental breakdown. And that's before three masked men burst into their house and kidnap them using tasers.
Let's move on to one of the other narrators. Her name is Tessa. Tell us about her background and what she's doing now.
Tessa Leone is the private investigator hired by Justin Denby's construction firm to find the missing family. I brought her back in this novel. She was originally in a thriller called Love You More, where she was the state trooper that went to the ends of the earth to rescue her own child. I have received so much reader mail, people just missing her, asking about her, wanting to make sure that she and her daughter are doing well. And I thought, well, what greater way to acknowledge that than to let readers spend time with her again? And what better investigator to find a missing family than a woman we already know capable of doing anything and everything to save her own family?
And then there's a very likable fellow. His name is Wyatt.
Wyatt, for me, was the surprise in the novel. When you go to do a kidnapping novel, as a crime novelist, you realize, okay, we're going to have the local police, the Boston cops for where the Denbys are kidnapped. You're going to have the FBI because the kidnapping case that crossed state lines. And then in this case, the Denbys are held in New Hampshire. So I'm like, okay. I called up actually my local county sheriff's department and interviewed some of those detectives and really became absolutely fascinated with New Hampshire County policing. It is very different, and that is what created Wyatt. I live in northern New Hampshire. People like to tell me I live by Boston. It's like, actually, I live by Canada. It is so remote, and it is so wild up here and such a vast terrain that the county officers patrol alone. Backup is 45 minutes away. They're often confronting people in isolated areas, basically one-on-one, compared to city cops where you ask them, have you ever drawn your weapon on the job? The county guys are like, oh, yeah, yesterday, last week, all the time. They're just in situations that really are the wild, wild west of policing. And it requires a lot of mental fortitude. It requires a lot of self-confidence. And what was it, I think, the officer, he's like, you have to actually like people because you need to be able to touch the guy in crisis and talk the situation down. But entirely, entirely different kind of policing than I'm accustomed to. And I thought, well, that itself is worthy of a character in a book.
Talk a little bit more about how and why their lives are intersecting.
I love the concept in suspense and in real life that you never know what's going on behind closed doors. The Denbys from the outside are that perfect family, and yet they disappear in the middle of the night. You have that obvious investigative angle of, well, who were these people really? And that's really what Wyatt and Tessa are about, talking to the friends, the neighbors, the other construction employees, and kind of starting to realize Justin was a great guy, but not always likable. Libby had her own issues. The daughter was maybe spoiled a little too much. But then also we spend time with the family itself behind bars. And I kind of joke, it's almost like a family boot camp novel. They are really fractured. They have a lot of issues with alienation, and the husband and wife are barely talking to each other. The teenager's not talking to either one of them. But they are now in a really dire situation where they've gotten to toughen up, smarten up, and really lean on each other again if they're ever going to get out of this alive.
This book, as I understand it, began with a visit to a sort of novel place. At least most of us would consider it that. Where was it that got you started on this book?
I swear, just as a crime novelist, I've always wanted to kidnap a family. The question is, what would you do with them? Where would you hold them? And then 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to tour a maximum security prison, brand new, state-of-the-art, that had been built probably within an hour of my house. The kicker was, this is happening all over the United States right now, it's one hand of the government that requisitions the funds to build such massive capital expenditures, but it's the operating budget that opens a prison. Because what happens often is one hand of the government gets the money and builds it, but in this day and age of fiscal crisis, there's no funds left to open it. So we had for a while, they're just now opening it, a absolutely state-of-the-art, fully stocked, heated, electricity on, immensely huge facility. You could have fit like four towns in there, and instead it just sat empty. What a perfect place to hide a family.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention a very lovable character. He happens to be a black lab named Zeus.
Aww.
And I want you to talk a bit about how you really maintain this wonderful personal contact with your many readers and how that benefits a particular charity.
I am definitely an animal person. My family, we now have our three dogs. And each year I do a fundraiser for my local humane society where we offer the opportunity for someone to have their pet written into the novel as a character. Zeus was last year's winner. Great, great, fabulous lab. Very old guy. Unfortunately passed away before the book came out. But I really loved what his owner said, that they had two black labs. One was smart enough to be a good work dog, but Zeus was smart enough to be the detective.
It seems to me that a good writer, and you are certainly that and more, could write about whatever you chose. And I believe formerly you wrote romance novels. So what led you down the life of crime writing path?
I started my career in romantic suspense, but it was still definitely suspense. I'm someone who needs a plot. I've always been drawn to the dark and stormy night. How well do you know the person you think you love? Those kinds of things. But the first 13 books of my career had also as part of the investigative journey, the female witness fell in love with the police officer or something along those lines. And actually, those books are coming out again. I have three of them that will be released from New American Library toward the end of this year. And I hope readers will enjoy this kind of lighter, sexier side where there still is a great mystery, but also part of those books is also falling in love. So you see touches of that in Touch and Go, because clearly Tessa and Wyatt have some sparks going on. And I think when you have a great mystery, a little bit of romance is kind of the icing on the cake.
I think it's interesting that you do have lead characters in some of your series. Dee Dee Warren makes a brief appearance in Touch and Go. And I'm wondering how you decide whether a novel will be a part of a series or not.
Yes, I have to beg forgiveness sometimes. I'm like a non-series author. Like, I don't know how this happened. I've never planned on a single character repeating, but definitely characters become like your children and you miss them. I am particularly very fond of Detective Dee Dee Warren because she's just that kind of aggressive, smart, ballsy person that I would never have the guts to be. Says all the things you would never actually say, but you might have been thinking them in the back of your head. But in this particular case, because I wanted to do a kidnapping, it really wouldn't be a Boston police case. So I kind of split the difference in having her handle the initial crime scene so readers could at least catch up with her briefly. I am gravitated to certain crimes, and so sometimes that means moving things around to accommodate the real world and how it would be handled.
Well, I do hope we'll be seeing more of Tessa and certainly Wyatt. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you so much, Barbara.
I've been talking with Lisa Gardner about her latest thriller, which is titled Touch and Go. You'll find more about it at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.